Hey, good morning. Hey, thank you. Before we get started, I want to let's do this. Hey, if you're sitting over there, do this for me. Move as far forward as possible. Over there, you guys are good. You're in the front. That works. But I want to be close. We're a family. There's way too many chairs in here. So let's get close. Talk to one another. Hey, before we dive into scripture this morning, I need to do this. First off, I need to do this. I feel like this is weird because a lot of you know me, but I've been out for a few weeks. So if you're looking at me, you're like, who is this crazy guy? My name is Shane Sanchez. I'm the junior high pastor here at Mission. And I want to start by saying this to all of you. I want to start by saying thank you. I've been out for a couple weeks because we had our first baby. I say we. My wife had our first baby. I was there. His name is Asher. There he is. He is the cutest thing on the planet. Oh, man. Yeah. Let's just look at this for the rest of the day. Can we do that? I'm just kidding. But thank you. Seriously. Whether it was comments on Instagram, whether it was you coming up to us and saying something. Some of your families brought us meals. Thank you so much just for the support and the love that you've shown us over the past few weeks. That little guy feels so loved by all of you. So thank you so much for that. You're incredible. Hey, as we dive into scripture this morning, we're going to be talking about thankfulness. We're going to start, it's not a series, we're only doing it 1 week as we head into Thanksgiving, but we're going to be discussing what we're thankful for this morning. Thank you notes is the name of this weekend. And we're going to answer that question, what are you thankful for? But before we get into that, I'm going to ask you a question. By a show of hands, you can raise your hand if you fit into this category. How many of you in here have ever been in sixth grade? How many of you ever? Okay, I'm hoping they all go in. I'm hoping all the hands are up. This is junior high, seventh and eighth graders, hopefully. If not, we can show you the warehouse. That's 4, 5, 6, and you might be lost. But hey, that's all right. Whatever works for you. All right, so we've all been in sixth grade. Believe it or not, I've actually been in sixth grade myself at some point many, many years ago. I went to Sonoma Ranch Elementary here in beautiful Gilbert, Arizona. And in sixth grade, you have this club that you look forward to all through elementary school. This club called Oceanography Club. It's this amazing, amazing club. And let me tell you why it's amazing. Because at the end of Oceanography Club, you get to do something really special. You get to go on a trip with all of your friends who were in Oceanography Club with you to San Diego, California. You get to go to SeaWorld. You get to go whale watching. We went to it's called the Scripps Museum, and I'm kind of a nerd, so I'm into that stuff. We got to go to the Scripps Museum, and you're hanging out in a hotel room in sixth grade with all your friends. You get to be an adult for a day, and it's the best thing ever. So I went through sixth grade working hard, doing all my oceanography projects and all of that so I could go on this incredible trip that everybody was looking forward to. It's something that you had to be a part of. But there was one catch with oceanography. One catch. One. We had this little room in my elementary school called the Responsibility Center, the RC. If you got in trouble, so much trouble that the teacher didn't even want to handle you at this point, they sent you to somebody who was a professional at disciplining you. They sent you to the RC to deal with whatever was going on. And here was the catch. If you went to the Responsibility Center 6 times, remember, it's hard to go there once. If you went to the Responsibility Center 6 times during that year before oceanography, you could not go on that trip. No matter what. It didn't matter what mom and dad said. It didn't matter how much you were crying. It didn't matter how much mom was crying. It didn't matter what was going on. If you go to the RC 6 times, you are not going to San Diego on this amazing trip with all of your friends. So let me tell you a little bit about myself in sixth grade. See, in sixth grade, I was good at something. I was good at being bad. That's just like what I did. I was a kid who finished all my work early and then distracted the entire class. I was obnoxious, I was loud, I talked too much, a lot like I still am today. Hey, who laughed at that? Ruth, knock it off. Sixth grade, what's happening? Sixth grade, I was good at being bad. So I'm in oceanography club. I go through the year, I do my projects. It's the day of the trip, right? The day of the trip is here. You go to school that morning, you could care less about what's going to happen at school that day because you know at the end of the day, you're getting on a bus with all of your friends and you're driving to San Diego and you get to eat whatever food you want and you get to hang out in a hotel room and you get to go to SeaWorld and you get to go to wherever, the ocean, yeah, you go to the ocean, you get to do all of these cool things. So that day at school, you could care less what's happening, right? Here's the thing, that fateful day of the trip, up until that point, I had been to the Responsibility Center five times. Five plus one. So that day is going along and I'm enjoying myself. I'm excited, I'm thinking about, we're talking about, we're getting pumped for that evening where we will get on that bus and head on this trip that we had worked so hard for. And in my excitement, somehow, I wound up in the Responsibility Center for the sixth time on the day of the trip. Remember, there was one catch. You go to the RC six times, you're not going on the trip. The day of the trip, I find myself in the Responsibility Center for the sixth time. No, this can't happen. You don't understand. And here's the thing, the teacher didn't even have the courtesy to call my parents and tell them what happened. Instead, she looked at me, she handed me the phone, and it was one with a cord on it, those used to exist, one with a cord on it, and she looked at me and said, "You have to call your parents and tell them what happened." So I'm a sixth grader in the RC for the sixth time. Just going to the RC at all, I'm going to be in trouble at home. On the day of the oceanography trip, this is not a good situation. So I get on the phone, I call mom and dad, and I have to tell them, I'm not going on this trip that I've worked so hard for the entire year. I'm bummed. I'm sad. This is a deep, deep, dark day in my life up until this point. And then I don't remember who I was talking to, mom or dad, say, "Hey, just give the phone to your teacher really quick. We need to talk to him." Okay, and here's what I know. Within the 5 minutes that I handed the phone to my teacher so my parents could talk to them, and then my teacher hanging up the phone, something incredible happened. There were some crazy things that happened that day that happened to fall on the same day of that oceanography trip. I wind up in the Responsibility Center for the sixth time. Some crazy things happened just in our lives that day. And I know this, by the time my teacher hung up the phone, I was going on the trip again to San Diego. I don't know what mom and dad said, but they did the impossible. I was going to be on that bus, experiencing all those great things, eating churros at SeaWorld, watching whales jump in the ocean, destroying things with my friends. It was going to be an incredible, incredible opportunity. I was back on the trip by the time the teacher hung up the phone. And in sixth grade, when you experience something like that, when you experience getting off the hook, getting out of trouble, and being able to get something back that you thought you had lost forever, you're thankful for a few things, right? In sixth grade, after all of that happened, I was thankful for this. I was thankful for the fact that I was going to be having those experiences. I was thankful for the fact that I was going to SeaWorld. I was thankful for the fact that I was going to get to hang out with my friends for a weekend and have so much fun in sixth grade. I was thankful for all of the perks that came along with going on this trip. I was thankful that I got to have those experiences. I can tell you this, in sixth grade, there was one thing I wasn't thankful for. There was one thing I wasn't even thinking about. I was not thankful for the fact that the teacher actually showed me grace, forgave me for the things that I did wrong, and allowed me to go on this trip. Instead, all I could think about was, I'm about to get on a bus and go have some fun with my friends. I could have cared less. I just wanted to look at the teacher and be like, ha, gotcha. My mom rocks. You stink. I'm going on the trip. This worked out. Sorry. Six times you can't hold me down. You don't know who I am. I'm going to SeaWorld, and you can't do nothing about it. I could have cared less that the lady actually forgave me, actually showed me grace, because she was the one who actually made the decision to allow me to go on my trip. Instead, I was just thankful for the perks of getting to be back on that bus with my friends and experience that incredible weekend. And here's the thing I have to warn you about today. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing with God. If we're not careful, we can actually just be thankful for the perks that come along with being a Christian, be thankful for the blessings that God gives us in our lives, and we could actually forget about the fact that before all of that started, God actually forgave us of our sins, He actually changed our lives, and He actually showed us grace to be able to experience His blessings, His love, and all the perks that come along with that. If you have your Bibles, open them to Luke chapter 17. If you don't have one, raise your hand. We have some. We're going to pass those out for you. There's no shame. We want you to have a Bible to read along this morning. If you don't own a Bible and we're giving you one, please keep it. Read it at home. I promise you it's the best book you've ever read. Luke chapter 17, that's towards the back of your Bible. If you've hit Revelation, you've went a little too far because that's the end of the book. I'm just telling you what I know. Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17. As you're turning to Luke chapter 17, I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to think about this question in light of everything we just talked about. In light of everything we just talked about, I want you to think about your answer to this question. And as we continue this conversation this morning, I want you to keep asking yourself this question as we talk. It's this: what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? This morning, we're going to look at a story of some guys who had an opportunity to show what they were thankful for. They had a chance to give thanks. Some of them, one of them to be exact, did it well. And the other nine were more interested in some of those perks that came along with what was done for them. Let's dive into this. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 11. It says this: Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, put yourself there, Jesus is walking. He's on a trip, and they traveled by foot back in the day. He's walking, and now he's walking through this town. Verse 12 says, As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Okay, so Jesus is traveling. He's on his way to the city called Jerusalem. It's the holy city. They're in this nation called Israel at the time. It still exists today. They're in this nation called Israel at the time. And Jesus is going to the city called Jerusalem, the most important place to those people, to party for a festival. And on his way there, he's walking through this little town. And as he's walking, these guys who scripture tells us had leprosy. And you're like, okay, that doesn't mean anything to me. Leprosy was a nasty, nasty disease. These guys would have had boils and scars and disfigurement. Their faces maybe wouldn't look normal. They would have been covered in scars and scabs and boils and marks. It was a nasty, nasty skin disease. These guys were sick. They were sick. And because they were sick, they were actually the outcast in society. Because they had this thing called leprosy, people didn't want anything to do with them. They were nasty. People would have considered them gross. They would have considered them unclean, even sinful. People would have looked at these guys and said, man, they must be sinners if they look like that, if they have that disease, if they struggle with those things. These guys had nobody that wanted to be around them, nobody who wanted to spend time with them, and nobody that wanted to care for them. So Jesus is walking through town, and these guys cry out, Jesus, Jesus, Master, can you just help us? Have pity, do something for us, please, please fix what's going on in our lives. And it's interesting that they do this, right? Like, what would an ordinary man be able to do for a guy that has a skin disease? Obviously, they knew something was different about Jesus. Maybe they had heard what he was capable of. Maybe that they had heard that people would spend time with him, that blind people would spend time with him and then would see again. That people who couldn't walk would spend time with him and would get up and walk away from him. Maybe they knew that there was something different about Jesus. They had heard what this guy had done. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Verse 14 says this, when he saw them, he being Jesus, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And here we go. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Okay, so Jesus does what Jesus does, and he heals these guys physically. Jesus says, get up, go see the priest. And as they get up and obey what Jesus commands them to do, they're cleansed. They look down at their arms and see the boils start to go away. The stench, the pain, the look, it's all disappearing as they get up and follow Jesus. Jesus heals these guys. The leprosy that they've dealt with for years is gone, just like that. And it's interesting that Jesus tells them to go see the priest. See, to you and I, that may not mean much. But remember what I just told you about these guys. These guys who had leprosy, they were the outcast. They could not fit into normal life. They could not fit into society. They couldn't do it. People didn't like them. They were gross. They were unclean. They were disgusting. They may have not had food to eat. Maybe didn't have a house to live in. Nobody wanted to be around them. So when Jesus says, get up, go to the priest, what he's actually saying is get up and get all the perks of a normal life back. See, because when these guys went to the priest, what would happen is this. The priest could look at them, see that the leprosy, see that the skin disease was healed. He could look at them and say, hey, you're clean. You're good. And when the priest declared somebody clean, that meant that they could get all the perks of normal life back. That meant that they could be around their families again. That meant that they could be around their friends, that they could get a job, that they could earn money, that they could eat food at the same table as everybody else. They could return to normal life. Everything could be better for them. They could get it all back. All the perks of a normal life could be theirs again. So Jesus heals them and tells them to go to the priest. To be cleansed, to be normal again. Let's keep reading. Verse 15 says this, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. What? What? Verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Okay, so picture this with me. There's 10 guys sitting here. They all have this nasty disease. They all want Jesus to fix it for them. So Jesus says, get up, go to the priest. They get up, they begin to go to the priest and see that Jesus has just healed them. He's just miraculously fixed their disease. 9 of them realize what Jesus has done, and go to the priest because they want the perks of life back. They want all the good things that come with being clean again. And those aren't bad. They want those things. But one of them, as he's walking away and realizing the boils on his arms are healing, stops, turns back to Jesus, falls on his face before him, and thanks him for what he's just done. This one man turns back because he realizes that Jesus must be something special. He must be more than just a man. Here's what's interesting about this guy. The Bible takes the time to tell us that he was a Samaritan. Again, you're like, okay, that doesn't mean much to me today. But think about it this way. I told you that this story is taking place in this nation of Israel. The people who lived in this nation, the natives of that land, were called Jews. Jews. It belonged to them, this land. If you were not a Jew and you lived in Israel, you were already automatically an outcast. You couldn't fit into society. You couldn't live a normal life. You were different than them, so you would never fit in. So while nine went to the priest to get their normal life back, the one who's a Samaritan, the one who's not a Jew, the one who would never fit into society again, realizes that he has nothing to lose. And instead of going back to get the perks of normal life back, he turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, you must be more than just a man. There's more to you than what you just did to my body. Thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for who you are. When the nine ran back to get their perks, the one turned back to Jesus because he realized that Jesus was something special, because he realized that maybe this one who had been claiming to be the Son of God was actually who he says he is. Let's keep reading. Verse 17 says this. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan, the man, the one. Verse 17 says this. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, catch this, junior hires, this is huge. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. When Jesus sees that the one man returns to him to give thanks, the one man comes back because he realizes that Jesus is something special. He does something incredible in his life. And what does it say this man had? It says he had faith. He had faith. He turned back to Jesus because he realized that Jesus was more than a man. That he realized that maybe this guy really is the Son of God. Maybe he's capable of not just healing me on the outside, but actually healing me on the inside. Healing my hurts, healing my pains, healing all the things I've done wrong, fixing the very core of me, fixing me from the inside out. The Bible tells us that this man's faith made him well. Well. Oh, okay. So for most of us, that word well doesn't mean much. Here's the thing. Our English word well doesn't actually do this phrase justice. It's not actually the best way to describe what happened here. But when you go back to the original language that this book was written in, when you go back to the language of Greek and you find the word for well, it actually means something very different than what well means in our English language. That word well, in the original language of Greek, would have meant saved. Save. Saved. So what this is saying is that this man turned back to Jesus to give him thanks, and this man's faith that Jesus was actually more than just a man, that he was actually the Son of God, saved him. made him well on the inside, not just the outside. Jesus did more than just heal this man's leprosy. This man was made well on the inside, not just on the outside. So, for those of us in here that are Christians, for those of us in here that are Christians, you know what it's like to be made well on the inside. You've experienced this. Maybe the story that we're reading today is similar to your own story. You know what it's like for God to change your life, for God to forgive you of your sins, for God to make right everything that you've done wrong. You've experienced that. Because the truth is, at one point, we've all been spiritually sick. We've all been sick. All of us have made mistakes. Every single one of us in this room, I don't care who you are, every single one of us in this room has done something wrong. We've all sinned against God. We've all done something that God says we shouldn't. And God is perfect. He wants us to live and be like him because he is perfect. But none of us are capable of doing that. We've all messed up at some point. All of us. But for those of us that are Christians, we know what it's like for God to fix that in our lives. We know what it's like to be made well on the inside, to be forgiven of all the things that we've done wrong. We know that Jesus took the punishment for our sins and made us well. I'm going to read something to you. You don't have to turn there. It's Romans chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 22. It explains a little bit more about this. It says this: this righteousness, this healing, this forgiveness, this being made well, this righteousness is given through faith, there it is, in Jesus Christ to all who believe. If you're a Christian, you've done that. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. But verse 24 says this: and all are justified, all are forgiven, all are made right, all are made well, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Okay, so if you're a Christian and you're in here today, you've experienced that. You know what we're talking about here. You've been healed, you've been made well, and you've been forgiven. Just like Jesus healed this man. Just like my sixth grade teacher showed me grace and forgot about all the things I had done wrong. You've been made well. If you're sitting in here and you've put faith in Jesus. So as we close this morning, I want you to think about this. As a Christian, what is your response to what Jesus has done for you this Thanksgiving? What is your response? You have a couple of options. As we see in this story, there were 10 guys. 9 of them went to the priest so they could get the perks of normal life back. So are you like the 9 this Thanksgiving? When you realize what Jesus has done for you, when you remember the fact that he's made you well on the inside, are you like the 9? Are you thankful just for the perks that come with being a Christian? And you're like, there's perks to this? I mean, think about some of these things. As Christians, some of you in here have made other amazing Christian friends, and you meet together in a house group every week. That's a perk. That's a nice part about spending time with other people who believe like you do. You get to come and sit in this beautiful church and hear about Jesus every week and get free pizza and pie stuffed in your face. How about this one? As Christians living in America, you have the freedom to pray wherever you want. You have the freedom to come to this place. You have the freedom to walk around with a Bible and not have to worry about whether or not you're going to be killed for it. Because in some places you would be. So this Thanksgiving, as a Christian, Are you just thankful for the perks that come with being made well on the inside? Or are you like the one who turned back around to Jesus, realizing that Jesus was something special, realizing that he was more than a man, realizing what had just been done for him? Are you like the one who this Thanksgiving can turn back to Jesus and thank him for what he's done in your life? Thank him for the fact that you can even have those blessings. Thank him for the fact that you can even be called a Christian. Thankful for the fact that he saved you and changed your heart on the inside. See, I think some of us this Thanksgiving need to get back to the basics of our faith. Before we even say thank you for the clothes, for the awesome family, for the incredible food, before we even say thankful for these things that we commonly say thank you for on Thanksgiving, before we even do that, I think some of us need to take a step back and thank God for the fact that he changed us on the inside, that he made our hearts well, and that he forgave us for all of the things that we've done wrong. So this Thanksgiving, before you give the normal answer to this question, when grandma goes around the table and, what are you thankful for? That's my grandma voice. When grandma does that, or whoever does it at your house, and everybody has to come up with something, you're like, I don't know, the dog, whatever. Before you answer the normal way this Thanksgiving, think about what Jesus has done for you. Think about what we've just talked about. And then answer this question. What are you thankful for? And before we pray this morning, there's another group of people in this room that I need to talk to. Because there are those of you that are sitting in here right now, and you're like, wait a second. I don't fall into that Christian thing. Like, that's not me. I can't be thankful for that because I don't believe like that. I haven't experienced that yet. Jesus hasn't made me well on the inside yet. That's not me. Here's what I can tell you this morning. If you're sitting here and you're like, you know what, I'm not a Christian. That's not me. You know what's awesome about Jesus? Is that this Thanksgiving, you can actually still be thankful for forgiveness. This Thanksgiving, you can be thankful for the fact that Jesus heals us on the inside. Because that's what Jesus has done for every single one of us. What's interesting, if you go back to verse 11 of chapter 17 in Luke, it says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Let me tell you what happened in Jerusalem. Jesus went for a party and wound up being nailed to a cross and killed brutally and getting a death that he never deserved. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. And I also told you in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. We've all done this. We've all fall short of the glory of God. We've all made those mistakes. So if you do that math equation, which I know you're all great at math, if you add those two things together, you would realize that we are deserving of death. If the wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned, we deserve death. And not just like death of our bodies when our heart stops beating, but death being eternally separated, forever being separated from God. We all deserve that. There was one man in history who never deserved that. His name was Jesus. He never, ever, ever sinned. Not once. But like I just told you, when he went to Jerusalem, he actually chose to die. He actually chose to say, I've never sinned. But these people have, and because of that, they're not going to be able to be with God for eternity, so I'm going to fix that. I'm going to die in their place. And he did that on the cross. But the story gets better from there. Because 3 days after he was nailed to that cross and placed in a tomb, he got up out of that tomb and forever gave us the ability to be made well on the inside, to forgive us of our sins, to fix everything we've done wrong, to forever allow us to be reunited with God. So if you're sitting here today and you're not a Christian, and you're like, I can't be thankful for that this Thanksgiving because I haven't experienced that, I promise you, today you can. Today you can experience that. You're like, well, how? Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if you can turn to him like the Samaritan man and realize that Jesus is who he says he is, you will be saved. You will be made well on the inside. It's for all of us. If you declare with your mouth, because Jesus hears you when you talk to him, and you believe in your heart, I can't do that for you, only you can do that, you will be saved. This Thanksgiving, you can be thankful for being made well on the inside. If you place faith in Jesus, he does the same thing for you as he did for that Samaritan man thousands of years ago. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, there's two things I want you to do. If you're a Christian in here, you can bow your head and close your eyes and listen to this. If you're a Christian in here, as I pray, I want you to thank God. Just talk to him yourself. Get back to the basics this Thanksgiving. Thank him for the fact that he made your heart well on the inside. Thank him that before all of these blessings and all of these great things you get to experience, he made you well. And then for the second group of you, if you're sitting in here and you're not a Christian today, and you've heard something today, or maybe today's not the first time you heard it, you know the story of Jesus, and as you hear these things, and as the Spirit works in your heart, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I'm ready for this. I do want to be made well this Thanksgiving. I do want to be able to be thankful for what he's done in my heart. I want you to do what Romans 10:9 tells us to do. I want you, just by yourself, to talk to Jesus. Tell him that he's Lord. Tell him that he is who he says he is, and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. So I'm going to pray. And wherever you are today, I want you to do one of two things or whatever you feel comfortable with this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you. They're words that we take for granted. But thank you, God, for changing our lives, for making us well on the inside, for forgiving us of our sins. Lord, thank you for these incredible junior hires, the greatest junior hires on the planet, Lord. And I know some of them in here have experienced what it's like to be made well on the inside. And Lord, as I'm praying now and they're talking to you right now, God, I pray that you would just hear our thankfulness, hear the fact that we're just thankful before all the blessings, before all the perks of being a Christian. We're thankful for the fact that you changed us, that you made us well, that you fixed us on the inside. Lord, without you, we're nothing. Thank you for saving us. And God, for those of us in here that maybe for the first time today are saying, you know what, it's time to turn to God. It's time to thank him. It's time to believe that he is who he says he is. I pray that you would work in their hearts. God, as they're made well on the inside, that they could celebrate this Thanksgiving, knowing that you forgive them, thanking you for the fact that you can heal us on the inside. God, you are awesome. We love you so much. Thank you for these incredible junior hires. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.